All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right, staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you were baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he looks out for you, he comforts you. I pray that your mental health gets better, and I just pray that you become more strong and wise in the Lord. And always remember that when your mind is on him, you have perfect peace. Amen. Never lose sight of that, all right? I just pray that you keep him first forever. I pray that you stop backsliding, turn from your ways. You turn away from your sins, your secret sins. And I pray that you live more clean and holy for the Most High. I pray that you stay strong and upright for the rest of your life. And I just pray that you can help as much people as you can along your journey with the resources that God blesses you with. And if you don't have much, still give what you can with what you have. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for waking us up. Let us thank the Lord for giving us another chance to get closer to him and get it right. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. Let us thank the Lord just for everything, for his word, his grace, his love, his mercy, his sending his son for our sins, to die for our sins, and just the promises of covenants, man. Very beautiful when you think of it, amen. So let's just thank the Lord for everything and above, because he is definitely an abundant giver, amen. He does abundantly, exceedingly more than we can ask. So he's very amazing and awesome. I just pray that your relationship with him gets stronger and better and closer, okay? You stay more obedient, faithful, and steadfast, all right? Yes, yes, man. Thank you all so much for listening. I love you all. I appreciate all of you guys. It means a lot to me when you guys listen to support. I'm praying for you all. I love you all. And we have to uplift one another in Christ. We have to encourage each other in the word. And we have to have gladness, joy, a merry heart, and embrace the goodness of life forever. Amen. A lot going on all four corners of the earth, and probably your personal life. But blessed is the person whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. Okay. Men will trust in chariots. We will trust in the Lord. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome everybody. Welcome all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues, all four corners of the earth, all faces, all races. God bless you all. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us just gather together, praise the Lord, be united in Christ. Let us be one with the Most High, okay? Let us just love one another, be harmonious, be peaceful, and let us always encourage each other, man, because we need to support each other, man. So much people out here feel isolated, alienated, alone, desperate or vulnerable. So we have to pick up one another in Christ. We have to uplift each other, man, because you never know what the next person is going through. You never know what the next man is going through. You never know what the next woman is going through. Okay. So always have that love, grace, and gentleness when we're dealing with one another. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, soul, strength, and might. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let us do Father's business and Father's will forever until his son comes back. And let us know the Lord better. Let us obey the gospel, obey his word, and not just be hearers of the word, but let's be doers of the word as well, okay? Let's be effective while we're in this work with the body of Christ, while we're in this work with the kingdom of heaven. Let us be kingdom builders and constantly keep doing what the Lord called us to do. Keep being led by the Spirit. Keep being obedient and just being helpful along the way, because many people out there need prayers, deliverance, baptism, repentance, a new life, a fresh start. So many people need all types of things, resources, so much. So let us be as helpful and generous as we can, okay? Because a lot going on, okay? But let us keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and keep seeking his face, all right? And keep doing his will. Let him have his way, amen? Yes, yes, y'all. So in today's message, we're going to continue the Bible reading series, all right? So we just finished off the book of Galatians, which is a very good read. Now we will continue in the book of Ephesians. All right, we're going to go into the book of Ephesians, and then from there, we'll close out with a prayer. We'll close out with priestly blessing, and we'll also close out with giving all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. So, yes, yes, y'all, let us go into the book of Ephesians, okay? So before chapter 1, I would like to read the commentary introduction, the build-up towards it, and go from there, okay? So here is the introduction commentary. The author, Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, the audience, the church in Ephesus, the date about AD 60, the setting, Paul imprisoned in Rome, writes what he probably intends as a circular letter, one that believers in Ephesus could pass along to encourage other Christians in the area. Essentials of Ephesians. Paul writes Ephesians as a love letter to the church. Readers might even expect the hard edges in Paul's words because experiencing real love includes hearing the truth. The first half of Ephesians helps clarify who we are in Christ, detailing how we fulfill God's purpose purposes in his church. We come into the church by grace through faith. Then when we begin to understand Christ's place as the head of the body, we affirm that love, order, and direction come from him. The second half of Ephesians explains what living together in Christ entails. Christ calls us to live a certain way, and God provides spiritual equipment, weaponry, and relationships to help. Further, God designs each of us to fulfill a specific role within the complex organism called the body of Christ. As you read Ephesians, look for both practical and inspiring encouragement about the church. Ask God to help you fall in love with the body of Christ and discover your place of service within that body. What to look for in Ephesians: how grace, faith, and effort fit together for living. The dimensions of Christ's love. The DNA of the church. Where gifts and leaders fit in the church. Practical ways to create healthy relationships. Body armor for spiritual warfare. All right, y'all. So let us go into the book of Ephesians chapter 1. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Yes, yes, y'all. So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 1 reading. All right. So as we see here, Paul's writing the letters to the saints in Ephesus, okay, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he's just giving them peace and love and just reminding them of spiritual blessings in Christ, okay, that we're blessed spiritually, okay, and we're called to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. And Paul goes further to detail about predestination, preordained, and he says that he preordained us. In love, he preordained us to be adopted as his sons through Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So goes more further to detail about the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, and so forth and so forth. And he goes further to letting us know the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed through in Christ, okay? And to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So as you can see, Paul talks about predestination and preordained and stuff like that. I like to say the term chosen and adopted because The Most High's chosen people, of course, of the lineage of Shem and the 12 tribes of Israel, so forth and so forth. The adopted are those outside of it. All right. So that's why I like to say chosen and adopted, because even Jesus talked about how only a few are chosen. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. So there is a difference between being chosen and being adopted. All right. Most people on earth are adopted Gentiles. Only a few true people, four corners of the earth, are true Israelites, true chosen people. Okay. So, but all in all, we're still under one. We all serve the same creator, all in all. Let us serve the one creator. Okay. So Paul just making that distinctions there within the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He goes further to detail about salvation and glory and gospel and, you know, redemption. All right. He also goes further to thanksgiving and prayers and how, you know, we have working mighty strength from Christ. All right. And we serve an amazing God and the authority that God gave to Christ. Okay. We should thank the Lord for all that and what have you. Okay. So that's the book of Ephesians chapter 1 reading. Okay. Now let us get to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. All right. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Here we go. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. One in Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves this circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body, the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Yes, yes. So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 2 reading. And Paul just goes more further to detail about being made alive in Christ. And even through our sins and transgressions, he still loved us and his Spirit keeps us going. And how we are not to crave or gratify our sinful nature anymore, the desires or the thoughts of it, but that we follow God and his love and his mercy. And through Christ that we are saved from that, we are saved by grace. All right. And it's important to always keep that in mind. And Paul goes further to detail into saying that, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that's why we should never brag about things or be arrogant or boastful about it, because you know, it's the Lord that's doing everything. It's not self-willed. Okay, that's what Paul's basically getting at. All right, it's not self-willed. God's love and mercy is very unlimited. All right, it's very just amazing when you really think of it. All right, so let us not always get ahead of ourselves or be arrogant or haughty about this. All right, for we are God's workmanship. And then Paul goes further to detail about being one in Christ and discussing about Israel and the Gentiles and putting away hostility and division and things of that nature and being together as one with him. All right, because we're all going to basically be one church. We're going to be all one. All right, because it goes further to everything that prophets were saying as well. The prophets all discussed about the restoring Israel, the tabernacle of David being raised up, how the house of Israel and the house of Judah will be put as one. And also with the mountain of God, the house of God for all people, it would be Israel, his remnants of Israelites, and the strangers, the Gentiles, also put together as one. And then Jesus also talks about in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said that he came for to restore, of course, he came to restore Israel, and that he came for a sheep of his fold. And then he said, and that Jesus said, he has a sheep of another fold that's not of his fold that's going to follow the same examples and do what I said too. So in that reference, Jesus referenced the Gentiles as well. All right, so Jesus is building the bridge between Israel and the Gentiles for those who believe and want to come into the ways of the Most High, things of that nature. So that's basically what Paul is getting at. We're basically going to be one church. Okay, one church together. We won't be divided or hostile or separate like we once was. All right, till this day, people still have prejudice spirits and hostility, bias, racism, things of that nature. But people got to repent from those spirits. They got to really repent from that, okay? Because when you read the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, you know, it specifically says all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues be singing for the Lord. Okay, so all four corners of the earth, those who come back to the Most High, those who embrace the covenant, those who come back into the ways of the Lord, will be glorified with him. Okay, like it's all prophecy. Okay, so we're gonna be glorified with Christ. So anybody who has prejudiced spirits or racist or bias, get that out your heart right now. Fast and pray from that. Get delivered and set free from that, because there's no place for that in the kingdom. Okay, there's no place for that. And remember that God knows our hearts, so make sure you acknowledge what's in your heart and clean it, get it out, uprooted, because it's all peace and love and unity about this, all right? So always remember that, okay? And we're joined together for Christ, okay? So remember that, all right? Now, I would like to read this in commentary scripture titled, God Brings Unity, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and hath destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. All right, so put aside your pride, your differences, all that stuff, people. Christ is coming back for a church with no spot, blemish, wrinkle. All right, so y'all get it together. Let's get it together, okay? All right, so that's the book of Ephesians chapter 2 reading. Now let us go into the book of Ephesians chapter 3, all right? The book of Ephesians chapter 3, here we go. Paul, the preacher to the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations as it has been now revealed, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, through the manifold wisdom of God, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yes, he does more abundantly than we could ask or think of. Amen. According to his power. Yes, y'all, that is the book of Ephesians chapter 3 reading. Very excellent read. So as we go through the book of Ephesians chapter 3, as we review it, Paul just discussing with the Gentiles how much he made a way to preach to them and to put Israel and Gentiles together as one, and according to the promise of Christ and Abraham and things of that nature, and the Spirit of God flowing through the holy apostles and prophets, okay? And Paul just goes more further to detail about grace and riches in Christ, abundance in a heavenly manner, in a spiritual manner, and approaching the Most High with faith, freedom, and confidence, okay? And that he also made a prayer for the Ephesians as well, and that to always do everything through his Spirit, okay? His power through his Spirit is what keeps us going and on, okay? So that's basically what Paul was just explaining to the Ephesians, okay? I just love how he said he's able to abundantly more than we can think or ask of him. I just love that, because it's like, man, sometimes people think it's so small, and we serve a mighty God, man. We serve an awesome, true and living one, man. He does so much things. He does so much that goes a person's imaginations, okay? So our faith got to be really on point, and our belief, our faith has to be in alignment with his power, how great he is, how amazing he is, and how much he could do it for us, okay? So more powerful prayers, all right? More powerful prayers, okay? Prayer warriors, always remember that, okay? Could do it all, amen, in his son's name, hallelujah. So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 3 reading. What I would love to do before I go into the book of Ephesians chapter 4 is I would like to read a commentary within Ephesians 3, okay? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Recommended reading, the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. The book of Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 27. And also the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. The title of this commentary is Freedom. Juneteenth, an unusual holiday started in Texas, is now celebrated each June 19th across the country. This holiday commemorates the day in 1865 when Gordon Granger, a Union general, rode into Galveston, Texas, and announced that slavery had ended. Reaction among the newly freed slaves ranged from shock to jubilant celebration. Imagine living your whole life as a slave and learning for the first time that you're free. However, there's more to the story. General Granger announced the news in Texas on June 19, 1865, but the slaves had actually gained their freedom when President Lincoln had issued the Emancipation Proclamation on New Year's Day in 1863. In other words, the slaves in Texas had been free for more than 2.5 years, but they hadn't known it. They had continued living as slaves, unaware that the nation had abolished the institution of slavery. Paul reminds us that we once lived in bondage to sin. In fact, we weren't just enslaved to sin. It had such a stranglehold on us that we were spiritually dead. But because of the work of Christ, we now experience freedom from sin and the joy of a vibrant life in him. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead. Verses 4 through 5. Sometimes it's difficult to convince people that they need to be saved from something they can't see. That's why we need to be aware of all that God has done for us. One mark of Christians is that we're intimately aware of what we have become and where we would have ended up had God not intervened. We understand that although we don't deserve it, God loves us anyway. Certainly, this should produce joy in us. But another response should also overflow from our hearts, the impetus for change. Sadly, many of us continue to live as though we're still enslaved to sin. Even though God has given us access to a new quality of life, we find it hard to imagine a slave receiving freedom but not living differently. So why should we receive life, yet still live as though we are dead? How does God want us to live? The proper response to God's gift of freedom is to live jubilantly and thankfully as people are set free. Amen. Things to take away from this commentary. Are you alive in Christ? In what ways does your life support your answer? How would you respond to someone who asks, what does it mean to be dead to sin and alive to Christ? Can you think of ways in which you continue living like a slave to sin, even though you know intellectually that Christ has set you free? What steps can you take to experience a more practical manifestation of your freedom from sin? All right, so that is the commentary, okay? Freedom, freedom, freedom. Freedom and liberty in Christ, people, okay? Christ came to set us free. Truth sets you free. We are free, people. Embrace it, okay? Spiritually free, y'all. We are free, y'all. His blood, him dying for us, man. It's so amazing and beautiful, okay? So always keep in mind of that. Now, let us go into the book of Ephesians chapter 4, all right? The book of Ephesians chapter 4, here we go. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Living as children of light. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Yes, yes, y'all. So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 4 reading. All right, and Paul just goes more further into detail about the unity of the body of Christ and how we need to be together. And how it's very important how we established everything through how everything's established, that the Lord made some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, okay, that the body of Christ may be built up. And then he also goes further to detailing about living as children of light and to not have darkness and to not be walking into darkness, okay? And to walk in with God with true righteousness and holiness, okay? I just want to read this in commentary scripture, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. God is true holiness. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, okay? So remember, God is holy, okay? And just going further into detail about how to carry ourselves and how to not sin while we're angry and not let the sun go down on our wrath and to not give the devil a place. Don't give him a foothold. And we also have to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Let us be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. All right, so it's very important that we walk in that love, okay? So that's Ephesians chapter 4 reading. What I would love to do before I get into Ephesians chapter 5, I would love to read the commentary within Ephesians 4, okay? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Recommended reading, the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. And also the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. The title of this commentary is Better Than a Buick. Some men are mechanically minded, while others, to put it bluntly, are not. Some begin changing air filters when they were 6 years old, but others wouldn't even know that a car had an air filter. Yet something understood by all men is that in order for a car to run properly, all of the parts need to work together. The Apostle Paul makes a similar point. After describing the grace of God that is at work within the church, Paul exhorts believers to live together in unity. He repeats the word 1-7 times in verses 4 through 6 to stress this point. A car engine will break down if its many parts are not functioning as a single unit. The church is no different. In verse 7, Paul makes another point. He asserts that each member of the church has received a portion of grace to perform a specific task. The leaders of the church are Christ's gift to the saints, given to equip them for works of service, verse 12. Just as a car would not run if the engine were made of nothing but air filters, so too the church requires each member to exercise his or her unique gifts. The metaphor of the church as a car only goes so far. However, a car is a machine. The church is a living organism. The metaphor Paul constantly employs in the Bible for the church is that of a body with Christ as its head. See Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and also Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 23, and also Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. A body can grow and mature, but a machine never can. The body of Christ builds itself up in love, verse 16, and continually strives towards maturity. Maturity, verse 13. So as you live and serve with other people in the community of faith, remember that Christians are not replaceable mechanical parts. All Christians are members of the same body and all need to be nourished. As each part does its own work in unity with the rest of the body, the church will do something a Ford or Chevy can never do. It will grow. Amen. Things to take away from this commentary. What gifts has God given you? In what ways are you using your gifts to contribute to the growth of the body of Christ? What further steps can you take to contribute to the growth of the body of Christ? What keeps you from committing yourself fully? All right, so that is the commentary regarding the book of Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Now, let us go into the book of Ephesians chapter 5. All right. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Here we go. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible. For it is said that makes everything visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives and husbands, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without strain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Okay, so that is the book of Ephesians chapter 5 reading. All right, so very great read. As we go further into Ephesians chapter 5, Paul just goes more further into detail about being imitators of God and to be Christ-like and follow his examples and walk in love and to really be obedient and to always be helping somebody towards God and your purpose and to not get caught up in sexual morality or any kind of impurity or greed or what have you, because it's improper for God's holy people. All right, we got to be clean inside out, and we shouldn't have no obscenity, no foolish talk, no coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. All right, no immoral impurity or a greedy person or an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And furthermore, Paul goes into detail saying how God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So make sure you're around some obedient people that obey the Lord, okay? Very important. And you talk about not getting caught up in the fruits of darkness or fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And he said we're to be children of light, in which light, the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And to always find out what pleases the Lord. All right. And furthermore, Paul says it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said that, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." All right. And Paul says to, you know, make the most opportunity of every opportunity because the days are evil. So every day you got to go after it, y'all. Every day you got to better yourselves every day, man. You know, the times are evil. Time is speeding up. Things are getting faster. So we have to take advantage of every opportunity there is each day we're alive, okay, to really get better with the Most High and really help as much people as we can every day, all right? Getting our purpose and get it done, all right? And also, Paul says to not be drunk on wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, okay, and to sing hymns and spiritual songs and music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Most High for everything. And it just says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it goes more further to detail about wives and husbands and how the relationship is between the husband and the wife is a relationship between Christ and the church, okay? Because spiritually, we are married to Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. The Most High always referred to Israel as a bride, as a wife, things of that nature, okay? He referred to Israel as like children too, all types of different references and what have you. But all in all, with the first covenant, with the covenant that Israel broke, the Most High said it was a divorce between him and Israel, okay? And called Israel unfaithful, harlots, all types of stuff through rebellion, disobedience, not obeying his laws, his commandments, his word, things of that nature. And here Paul goes into that relationship between Christ and the church. All right, so as a church, all right, we're married to Christ, all right? So we got to be on point. We got to love one another, you know, and we take care of one another, okay? And we got to really respect each other's roles and respect each other all in all. It's basically what Paul was getting at. It must be respect, love, and honorable things, all right? He talks about to present the church as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless, okay? So let us constantly do better day after day, all right? So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 5 reading, okay? Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, all right? The book of Ephesians chapter 6, here we go. Children and parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with the sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the darkness of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, principality in high places, wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Final greetings. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. All right, y'all. So that is the book of Ephesians chapter 6 reading. All right. So as we review the book of Ephesians chapter 6 reading, Paul just goes more further into detail about children and parents. He's basically stressing the parent, children, tell them to obey your parents and to respect them and how it's a commandment. And he's also pressing the fathers to not provoke your children, but teach them and bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So that's very important to realize, because many people, backgrounds and upbringings are very different. So many people on earth are orphans or don't know their parents or don't have parents or may not know their dad or may not know their mom, or they are probably just raised by their aunt or their brothers or sisters or raised by neighbors or even foster family, foster care, okay? Many people, backgrounds and upbringings are very different. So that commandment of obeying your parents is something that not every single person can obey because of their situation. But whoever is looking after you and taking care of you, you should respect them and appreciate what they're doing for you, because they're able to put up with you and have mercy on your situation and your hardship, okay? And the thing is about people who obey their parents, this is a very different thing too, because many people can probably grow up with parents who don't believe in God, or they'll grow up to parents who are probably into witchcraft or sorcery or all types of different generational curses. So it's very challenging for many different types of people within their home situations or their backgrounds, you know. And what's interesting that Jesus says that whoever does the will of my Father, that's my brother, that's my sister, that's my family. Or, you know, and he said that sometimes even your own enemies are in one of your own household. And the prophet Micah said that too, okay? So everybody's upbringings and households are different. And Jesus even said that he came to put father against son, mother against daughter, and this mother and mother-in-law versus stepdaughter-in-law, you know, so everybody's family background is different. So it makes it hard for one another to respect or obey one another or what have you. But if you have like some decent parents who did look out for you, have you still respect and obey them too? You know what I mean? Because your parents put you in this world and you only get one dad, you only get one mom. You know what I'm saying? But some people grow up from different types of backgrounds. Some people have abusive parents or alcoholic parents, or some people may have parents who probably were on drugs or didn't have the most ability to have it together. So it's hard for a lot of children to respect their parents when their children, when the children endure so much trauma, you know what I mean? Some parents could put a lot of trauma and hurt in a child's life. So it makes the child hesitant to love them properly or obey them or respect them. And then when a child gets older, it kind of triggers into their adulthood and they kind of get resentful and bitterness and all those different things. So all in all, it's important to respect those who are taking care of you, looking out for you. And even through your hardships or trauma, you always still try to have that respect and love for everybody within you or far from you, okay? So it's important to heal from your background, okay? Heal from your past and not be unforgiving, okay? Furthermore, Paul goes into detail about slaves and masters and what have you, and how to deal with, like, you know, like work environments or those who are ahead of you, what have you. But all in all, you always obey God and trust in him, and you don't always worship man. But it's just a respect factor between a person who's an authority and a worker, or a person who's a servant and someone who's above the servant. So Paul was just making references about that. But always do everything towards the Lord at the end of the day. And then furthermore, you know, this is where it really gets heavy, about the armor of God. All right, Paul goes further into detail about the armor of God. Yes, yes, y'all, keep on the armor of God, because you have to go against the devil's schemes, okay? Satan's agents, Satan's devices, have to go against that and tear all that down, y'all, in Jesus' name, amen. Remember that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the rulers and principalities of darkness in the air, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. That's where our battle is, okay? So stop beefing with one another or some random person around the way. You need to focus. It's bigger fish to fry. All right, spiritual warfare is getting so intense. It's honestly not even worth going back and forth with a random person, okay? The spiritual warfare, it's heavy, man. It really is, you know. Satan, he's really attacking children. He's attacking women. He's attacking men, brothers. He's attacking elders. He's attacking people's health. He's attacking people's circumstances and situations. He's tormenting people. Remember, he's the accuser. You know, he's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. He's after so much people with deception and straining them away from the faith and from the truth. So us as people of the Most High, us as men, women of God, we have to fight and resist all against all this evil. We have to go against this evil, man. Tear down the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. All right. Got to stay strong in that spiritual battle. Got to stay strong in that spiritual warfare. You know, the devil, he likes to attack people's minds. He likes to attack the mental health and attack people's thinking patterns with idle thoughts and, you know, silly things or what have you. So your mind got to be fixed on the word and fixed on him, fixed on the Lord. Your mind got to be fixed on the word, the Bible, the law, statutes, commandments, the covenant, the promises of God, the gospel. Have your mind on those things. Amen. Because the word is your sword. Amen. The word is a sword, y'all. Always remember that. The word is that sword, man. So y'all have to stand firm, okay? The belt of truth is buckled around your waist. All right. The breastplate of righteousness is on you. All right. Your feet with the gospel of peace. Amen. Always keep that in mind, that you have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word is your sword, people. That's your weapon, okay? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests within this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Prayers up, people, prayers up. I pray for you, pray for me, all pray for each other. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, my words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen. All right, y'all. So y'all keep that in mind, man. Spiritual warfare, man. Keep on the armor of God, man. Stand your ground, people. Stand your ground. Stand firm. Be firm, okay? And then the final greetings. Paul's just going about with his faithful servant, Tychicus. All right, he's just going about that and encouraging him to let him know how everything's going, all right? And he just wishes peace to the brothers and everybody in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And the undying love, all right? So that's the final greetings of Paul in the book of Ephesians, okay? So there you have it, all right? That wraps up Ephesians. Ephesians has 6 chapters in it, so very excellent, great read, amen? Yes, yes, y'all. So there you have it, all right? What I would love to do as I close out is give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. All right, y'all. So here we go. Yes, yes, y'all. Here we go. Hallelujah. He is the hope for humanity, y'all. He is the Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, the advocate, the almighty, true, living God, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. He is the apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father. Yes, yes, he is. Amen. Yes, y'all. He is the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn of all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am that I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal. He is the king of Israel. Amen. He is the king of kings. Hallelujah. He is the king of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna, Hosanna, king of saints, king of the ages, king of the Jews, the king, the lamb of God, the lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader and commander, the life of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my everything, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my high tower, yes, yes, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord is my redeemer, the Lord is my branch, the Lord is my deliverer, all that and much more, y'all. He is the Lord, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahawashai, Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, Yahayashai, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua, Elohim, Ahai Yeshai, Yehosha, Yehusha, Yehusha, Yeshua. Yes, he is a consuming fire. He's the father of life, the father of the fatherless, the father of widows, the father of mercies. He is the God of heaven and earth. His son sits at the right hand of him. Yes, yes, y'all. The government rests on his shoulders. He is the great physician, can heal all things. The carpenter can fix all things. With the Lord, nothing is too hard with the Lord, y'all. With God, all things are possible. Amen. To those who believe, never forget that. Yes, yes, y'all. The Most High is so amazing. The Lord our God is one. His outstretched arm, his mighty hand, the finger of God is very powerful. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the Resurrection of Life, the Resurrection, the Resurrector, the life, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the radiant one, the perfect example, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the most high God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he's the truth. Amen. He is the way. Hallelujah. He's the way, truth, and life. The wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor. The word of God, the word of life, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yahweh Shai, the word of Yehosha Yehusha, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yeshua Yahweh Shai. The word of the consuming fire. Amen. We touch and agree, y'all. He is the word. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all. We serve an awesome creator. His son is amazing for dying for our sins. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. His son is very awesome and amazing. He is a seed of Abraham, promise, a seed of Adam, humanity, seed of David, kingship, seed of God, deity, seed of Jacob, nationality, seed of Judah, tribe, seed of Shem, race, seed of woman, prophecy. Yes, yes, y'all. In the authority and the power and name of Jesus Christ, you are healed, renewed, restored, redeemed, forgiven, embraced, loved. And by the blood of Jesus, new mind, new heart, new soul, new hands to prosper, new footsteps, new journey, new path, new endeavors, new opportunities, new open doors, new miracles, new signs, new wonders, new dreams, new visions, all right, new blessings. Yes, yes, y'all, the Lord love you all. Love the Lord back, okay? Obey, be obedient, be faithful, stay in alignment with him forever, all right? Trust in him, y'all. Walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, yes, y'all. Keep doing Father's business and Father's will forever, okay? So there you have it, all right? That is the word for today, the book of Ephesians reading, okay? Very excellent read, and hope that we all apply it to our lives and just we keep being doers of the word, all right? So let's stay strong and keep staying on point in this spiritual warfare, this battlefield, all right? Stay strong, people. Keep on the armor of God. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all. So I just pray to God that all of you listening get baptized and start over, man, and just get that fresh start, okay? Stop doing the same old, break those routines, okay? The Lord's doing a new thing, amen? So always keep that in mind, all right? So what I love to do is I close eyes, give y'all the priestly blessing on the way out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for you all. Love you all. Praying for you all. Peace.